Good morning, St. Cuthbert's. Today in Britain, I think we very much take it for granted that everyone is welcome to come into church to meet with God and to be a part of the people of God, regardless of their race, their tribe, the family they're from. But in the early days of the church, this wasn't the case at all. In fact, to start with, it was only Jews and converts to Judaism who were welcome in church. Think of the story of Pentecost that Heather taught us a few weeks ago. It was Jews and converts to Judaism who came to have that relationship with God. So to get from such an exclusive church 2,000 years ago to where we are today, what happened? Did God change his mind? Or was this part of God's plan all along? Well, actually, the Bible, if you read it from the beginning, take things in order, you see that God progressively reveals more and more of what he's doing. And actually, in the Bible story, God revealed this bit very early on. When God spoke to Abraham, maybe 2,000 years before the birth of the church. Because when God called Abraham out of Haran, he made a promise to him way back in Genesis 12, when God said, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And that was God's clear promise to Abraham. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And later on in Abraham's life, God repeated the promise a couple more times, and then he reaffirmed it to Isaac and Jacob as well. So right at the beginning of God setting aside the Jewish nation to be something special, he also made it clear that this was for a purpose. That through this nation, through the children of Abraham, all other nations would be blessed. Now, in the days before Jesus came to earth, the only way that this could happen was through Gentiles joining God's people by becoming Jews. For men, that involved circumcision, and for absolutely everyone, it involved following the whole of the Old Testament law. But in the longer term, God had a far bigger plan, that Gentiles would become part of the people of God by accepting Jesus without first becoming Jews. So for maybe 700 human generations, you could say that the promise to Abraham lay dormant, like a seed, waiting to germinate. Now, I grow quite a few plants for my garden from seed. So I'm used to taking them, you know, I'm used to seeds taking longer than I want to germinate. But this seed of God's promise to Abraham must have broken all records for germination time. But God didn't give up on the seed. He didn't give up on the promise. And with the death and resurrection of Jesus, and then the Great Commission, and then the coming of the Holy Spirit on the Jewish believers at Pentecost, we find that the ground was prepared and watered. And then the events at Cornelius' house, which Jane described to us, were when that seed, which had waited for 700 generations of men, that's when the seed finally germinated and sprang up as a young plant. And today's passage is crucial to our church here in Rye Park. God prepared the ground for an awful long time before these events Jane described happened. And it is a story with several unexpected twists and turns. But here are some of the bits that interest me. Firstly, in verse 2, Cornelius gets a very good character reference from Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. Luke says, "He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly." Why does that matter? Well, right living does matter. The way we live might not always show on the outside, but what is going on the inside matters enormously in our relationship with God. Cornelius set a good example, which his family followed, of being devout, God-fearing, generous, and a man of prayer. And that's the start of this whole story. That's the foundation for an astonishing move of God. But within that description of the family, something that particularly caught my attention is that it says that Cornelius prayed regularly. He prayed, and then in this story, it's clear the answer to his prayers was way beyond his wildest dreams. Now, Luke doesn't tell us how Cornelius was praying. I think when we hear of people praying, we tend to assume that they're asking God for something. But as we've been exploring recently, not all prayer is asking God for what we really, really want. What I called a Spice Girls prayer the last time I preached. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. There's lots of other forms of prayer. And not all, every type of prayer is asking God to bless us and giving him a shopping list of the things we want. And when Luke wrote down this story, he didn't bother telling us what Cornelius was praying. It's almost like he's saying the fact Cornelius was praying matters far more than any detail of how he was praying. But anyway, whatever Cornelius was praying, God intervened and decided that this man and his God-fearing family were to become the launch pad for the church to cross the biggest divide on the planet. That divide between people who were Jewish and those who were not Jewish, the people the Bible calls Gentiles. Now, it's important to remember that Jews wouldn't normally go into the homes of Gentiles because Gentiles and everything they touched were seen as ritually impure. You see, Gentiles did things and ate things that were not kosher. So as much as possible, Jews wouldn't associate with them. But in this chapter, in the verses 8 to 34, which we didn't have time to read today because it's quite a long story, in those verses, Peter had a vision in which God told him not to call anything impure and also told him to go with the delegation from Cornelius, who was not a Jew. So Peter went down to Caesarea, which was the Roman military and administrative headquarters for Israel, and he went to meet a Roman centurion inside Cornelius' house. So things are already way outside Peter's comfort zone. But it only gets more uncomfortable from there on in. Cornelius tells him about his vision of an angel and asks Peter what it is that God wants to tell them. So Peter starts his sermon by saying in verse 34, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." Those are deceptively normal words. But I think that what's going on here is that Peter is speaking without thinking, which is a trait of Peter anyway, but under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he's speaking a new revelation, something that he didn't know and the people he's talking to didn't know. And it's very much like that time in Matthew's gospel when Jesus asks Peter who he is, and Peter just blurts out, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied to him then, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." And what's happening in Acts 10 is very, very similar. Peter starts speaking, and before the words are out, before he's even thought about it, because the Holy Spirit's enabling him to speak truth. He hasn't been mulling over this question of the Gentiles for weeks and reaching a conclusion through human logic. It's God who revealed it to him. And it's one of those occasions of prophetic speaking where everyone present recognized in their hearts that this is from God. It's an occasion where God gate crashes a church meeting and takes over. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." That's not what Peter thought 2 days earlier at all. And then Peter goes on to tell them about Jesus. Interestingly, in his sermon, in verse 36, he starts by saying, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." So clearly these people had already heard something about Jesus. And then God goes way beyond just unexpected prophetic preaching. Peter's trying to tell these people about Jesus, and he's building up, as preachers do. And then God wrecks it. He sends his Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles. Verse 44, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter," that is, Jewish people who had come with Peter, "were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God." The gift of the Holy Spirit has just been extended to non-Jews. But clearly, it wasn't Peter's plan. Peter wasn't praying for that to happen. In fact, it made life pretty messy for Peter, having to explain that to the church in Jerusalem. But it was God who unexpectedly intervened. God took over while Peter was speaking, and God filled the Gentile believers with his Holy Spirit. Now, those of us who preach tend to build towards the end of the sermon, where hopefully we lay down a challenge to our listeners over what they need to do in response to the message. Peter may possibly have had that in mind, but that plan went straight out the window, because before Peter got anywhere near his challenge, God sent his Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles. And then they started making lots of noise, praising God in various languages. In short, they wrecked his sermon. The sermon broke down in chaos as there's too much noise to continue, with the whole congregation praising God loudly. So Peter gives up speaking and recognizes that God is at work. Now, that may not be church as we usually know it, but I love the joyful chaos of the whole event. I love the way God just takes over and says, look, you lot, you've not been listening. I'm telling you, the gospel is for all nations, for all peoples. And now I'm going to show you what I mean. You know, Peter was saying some jaw-dropping things as the Spirit led him, but then God intervened even more radically, and the Holy Spirit filled the Gentiles, and they started speaking in tongues. No one who was there could deny that God did that. They can't deny that God is accepting these Gentiles into his family. So Peter orders that they be baptized with water as an outward sign of what has clearly already happened inside them. You know, in this story, Peter didn't have the faintest idea of what God was up to. But he was obedient. When God told him to visit Cornelius, he did. And then he spoke as the Spirit guided him. And God did the rest. God intervened to overrule the Jewish believers' refusal to accept that all people can come and join God's family without first becoming Jews. And Peter recognized God at work and gave orders for the new believers to be baptized with water. See, for Peter, that's the happy ending. He gets to do his altar call. But where is all this leading? Why does that matter? Why does it matter that non-Jews can join God's family without first becoming Jews and observing all the requirements of the Old Testament law? Well, it matters for almost all of us. I don't actually know if any of us are from a Jewish background, but I'm sure most of us aren't. So this story tells us of the moment when God effectively blew the doors off his house and allowed people from every tribe and nation, people like you and me, to come in and join his family. That is God's heart's desire. In fact, it is a foretaste of heaven itself. And that's why mission matters. God longs for people from every tribe and nation, Jew and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, to come and spend eternity with him. In closing, I want to show you a video that might help you to understand what our eternity with God might be like, with all peoples and languages praising God together. There are subtitles for different languages, so if you need to, please can you move somewhere closer to the screen where you can see, or else you can put your glasses on. Could we play it, please?
Thank you. 神站立，宇宙万物同样生欢喜。
That is where all of planet Earth's history is heading. People from every tribe and nation are going to spend eternity with God and with each other. That's what the church here on earth is part of. That's what St. Cuthbert's Church is part of. And it's something that each one of us is a part of too. So let's make sure that we play our part and tell people what Jesus has done for us. And let's make sure that we welcome people from every tribe and nation, everyone who comes in through the door. Let's make certain that we welcome them and help them to become part of God's family here on earth, but then in eternity as well. Amen.